Bulent Alir Izzah, director of the Turkey program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, has just returned from a trip to Turkey to assess the political environment there. We spoke with him about his findings.
I went within a few weeks of the referendum relating to a more correctly series of constitutional amendments. They did not get the required number in the Turkish Grand National Assembly, and therefore they were submitted to a referendum. The opposition mounted a major campaign to actually get a rejection by the people of the amendments, saying that these were in fact likely to reduce the constraints on the current government and therefore would not be conducive to the functioning of a fully democratic system in Turkey. Prime Minister Erdogan and his ruling AK Party mounted a very vigorous campaign to persuade the voters, and they were successful. And having received 58% approval in the constitutional referendum, the Prime Minister and his party look well set to win the next elections, which are set for June next year.
What do you think that'll mean for Turkey?
No party has won three successive elections in Turkey since the 1950s, so it would be a major political coup for the Prime Minister. He has said that this would be his last campaign in parliamentary elections, and probably he will want to go for the presidency with enhanced powers. That will require additional constitutional amendments to move Turkey closer to a presidential or a semi-presidential system. I think that's going to be dominating the discussions. And of course, at a broader level, the question is whether the ruling party, which has its roots in the Islamist movement, is indeed able to reassure those in the country, you know, the 42% that voted against the constitutional amendments, that it does want to continue to live within the existing secular system as mandated by the constitution. Its opponents fear that the stronger it gets, the more victories it achieves, the less willing it is to live within those constraints, and it does want to remove them. Prime Minister Erdogan keeps on assuring the electorate that he wishes to continue to live within the constitutional system. Nonetheless, he wants greater recognition of the growing religiosity in the country, and he wants the lifting of the various restrictions that have been applied over the years, over the decades, in fact, on the manifestation of religiosity, including, above all, perhaps, the wearing of the Islamic headscarf.
Could you tell me how Turkey's role is evolving in the region?
Parallel to its domestic supremacy, the ruling party has made great efforts to enhance Turkey's role within its multiple regions as well as further afield. It has a policy of zero problems with its immediate neighbors. As part of that, it has improved relations with former enemies Greece, Bulgaria to the west, Syria to the south. It began but has not completed a similar process with Armenia. And part of its multi-regional foreign policy developed closer relations with Russia, which was an enemy as the Soviet Union during the Cold War, with Iran, which is an immediate neighbor, and has sought a much higher profile in the Middle East. And parallel to that, it has gained membership in the Security Council for the first time in 50 years, which underlines the fact that its active foreign policy has been successful. Now, the question is whether this more active foreign policy actually fits in and complements its primary relationship with the United States, NATO. The U.S. and Turkey have been allies in NATO for almost 60 years, and its desire to be a member of the European Union, which has been stalled but is nonetheless still alive. And so, as Prime Minister Erdogan has said, Turkey is an eastern country and a western country. It looks both east and west. And what I think we're going to see over the next few years is the ruling party's efforts to try and balance its growing relationships with its immediate neighbors and those beyond its borders with its primary security relationship with the West.
Well, Turkey and China have been having high-level talks recently. What is the relationship between those two particular nations?
It's a new relationship in one sense and a very old one in another. The Turks trace their origins to Central Asia, and after many years of conflict with the Han Chinese, they migrated westwards and eventually settled in Anatolia, and then, of course, spread into both the Middle East and Europe. So what the current effort entails is a resumption of an ancient relationship, but putting it into a modern context in which Turkey develops relationships with countries that, frankly, it didn't have before. And the recently completed 6-day visit by the Turkish foreign minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, which apparently is going to be followed by a visit by the Turkish prime minister, sets the stage for what the foreign minister has called a strategic relationship. Now, the question is, can Turkey develop and maintain strategic relationships with countries like Russia, China, perhaps Iran, and again, as I said before, balance those with its primary security relationship with the West?
Bulent Al-Irza, director of the Turkey program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. China and Turkey are among the world's fastest-growing economies. Analysts say trade volume between the two nations stood at about $14.2 billion last year. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington.